I wonder if somebody could just bring this flip chart up onto here, and I'm going to ask a bit later on for somebody to just write up briefly what you share with us. Thanks, Phil. Thank you very much. Good. So those of you who can't see it, you might need to move when the time comes so that you can see what we're doing. Well, today and next Sunday, we are going to be, as the bulletin shows you, we're going to be talking about prayer. Very important as we begin a new year that we talk about a subject like this. And for the purposes of this talk today, I'm going to assume that you pray. I'm going to assume that you pray. We spoke, didn't we, a few months ago from the Sermon on the Mountain, where Jesus said, if you pray, pray like... No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, when you pray. In other words, Jesus assumes that all disciples, all followers of him, will pray. So this morning, I'm going to assume that you are a person who prays. Prayer is something that is sometimes a struggle, isn't it? If I'm brutally honest with you, and if you're honest with each other and yourselves, sometimes it is a struggle. And I guess part of the reason it is a struggle is because we, as Christian people, are involved in spiritual warfare. We have an enemy, Satan, the devil, who does not want us to pray. Satan doesn't want a whole lot of other things as well, but one of the things that Satan doesn't want is that we pray, that the people of God pray. And so it is a spiritual struggle, and I guess that is part of the reason why sometimes it is hard and challenging. And so that's my testimony as well. I can say that, you know, prayer has sometimes been easy for me, and sometimes I have struggled with it. And I'm just being vulnerable with you and open and honest. And I guess maybe some of you, if you were honest as well, you would say that you have a similar experience to me. But what I want for this year, and we shared these things on New Year's Eve in the evening, is that my personal prayer life and our life together praying gets deeper than it was in 2023. And I hope that you would say, I want my prayer life to get deeper in 2024. I'm just going to give you three reasons at the beginning why personal prayer is important. There are many reasons, but I'm just going to give you three. The first one is actually funny that Ore read the words. It's amazing how God moves, isn't it? But she read some words from Psalm 27, which illustrate this exact first point. One of the reasons why personal prayer is important is because of intimacy with God. We have a relationship with God, and we want to get to know God better, don't we? I hope we do. We want to know God better. And so prayer is an expression of our intimacy with God. And we talked many times in the Sermon on the Mountain series about how God wants to have relationship with us. He is a loving Father who cares about you and me, and he wants relationship with us. So one reason why praying is important, praying is good, is because of our intimacy with God. And so one of the verses from what Ore read earlier is this, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That doesn't mean that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Doesn't mean that you're going to come and live in this building. Doesn't mean that. It means that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, that I may know through prayer and Bible study and other things, the presence of God. So personal prayer is important because it encourages your intimacy, my intimacy with God. And that is very, very important. And as we focus more on who God is and what he's like, what he's done, we will worship. We will naturally worship. And we're going to do a bit of that in a few minutes' time. So that's the first reason. Intimacy with God is important. And that's one of the reasons why it's important that we pray. Second reason is for our spiritual growth. That as we pray, we grow in our faith and our understanding and our walk with the Lord. That's the second reason. And then a third reason, there are many more, but a third reason is this. We pray because when we pray, God gives us wisdom and understanding, discernment, guidance, all those kinds of things for our walk with the Lord. And Colossians 1 verse 9 says that one of the things that God gives us when we pray is greater wisdom, greater understanding, so that we can live lives worthy of the Lord. And so that's another reason why personal prayer is important. Well, there are very many patterns for prayer, ways which we could pray. But one of the most important ways is the way that Jesus taught us. We talked about this in September when we talked about the Sermon on the Mountain. Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." And then he said, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and so on and so on. And the reason is that this is a pattern for our prayer. The themes in the prayer that Jesus taught us are themes that we can use in our prayer. So maybe when you start, we said this before, but maybe when you start your prayer, "Our Father," focus on God, our Father, who loves us, who cares for us, who wants relationship with us, who is in heaven, who is over all things. "May your name be honored." We sang about that earlier, didn't we? "May your name be honored. May people bow down and worship and give glory and honor to your name. Your kingdom come. May your kingdom come in Whitmarines, in Wolverhampton, in our nation, in our world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your ways be increasingly done in the world," and so on and so forth. So we can use the prayer that Jesus taught us as a pattern because it gives us themes to pray about. And as you read that prayer in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, you will see that there are some very, very good themes that actually cover all of our lives, every aspect of our lives, including the temptations and trials we face, the forgiveness that we need, our needs for basics like bread and water and shelter and all those things that we need. All these things are themes in our prayer. So that's a very good pattern. If any of you are wondering, well, how can I pray? Try using the themes that the prayer that Jesus taught us sets out. I'm going to get to this passage from 2 Kings, which is a fantastic passage. I'm a big fan of Hezekiah. He's one of the good kings. There were many bad ones, but he's one of the good ones. And I want to just ask us, first of all, is our prayer life sometimes like a visit to the ATM? You put your card in to get some cash, and out pops the cash. Or is our prayer life a bit like a slot machine? You put your coin in and something comes out. Because you see, it is possible for you and me to have a transactional relationship with God, where you and I go to God in prayer when we want something. Or when there's an urgent need that needs meeting. And then the rest of the time, God doesn't hear from us. He only hears from us when we want something, when there's a crisis, when there's a problem. No, that's not the kind of relationship that God wants with us in our prayer, because that's a transactional relationship. No, God wants a different kind of relationship with us. Yesterday, the music worship group met to talk about our vision for the year. It was a great meeting, very encouraging. Thank you, Ore, for leading us. And one of the things we want to do is we want to become worshippers who lead us all in worship of God. We want to worship God for who God is, because of what he's like, as well as what he has done for us. We want to acknowledge his greatness and his mercy, his love for us. So what is God like? I'm going to need somebody to come and write a few things up, some nice pens here. So please, Jeremy, you did a fantastic job last time, and you'll do a great job this time. So what is God like? What are his attributes? Is a posh word, isn't it? We won't use that one. What is God like? What is God like? Why do we worship him? Because he is what? So please, keep Gemma busy. Because he is good. Okay, keep Gemma, you're going to be busy. I'm prophetically saying that. He is good. Why else? What is God like? He's a supreme being. He is faithful. Somebody said love at the end. God is love, okay? What is God like? What is God like? What is God like to you? He's merciful, yes. Gemma's going to be busy. Gemma's got beautiful writing. And we might need another sheet. Come on, keep going. He cares about us, yes. He's almighty, he's supreme, yes. He's compassionate, yes. Yes, he is our creator, he is our maker, who demands allegiance from us. Yes, somebody over here. He's worthy of our praise, yes? He's forgiving, yes. What else? He listens, he hears us, yes. Wonderful. He hears us, isn't that wonderful? What is he like? He protects us. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, the Bible says, doesn't it? Somewhere else it says, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. I appreciate that about the Lord. He doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. He is forgiving. He forgives me. He gives me new life. What else? He reigns supreme. Good. Let's get a bit more personal now. What is God like in your experience? He's a friend. He said he's compassionate. He's forgiving. He's good. He's our refuge. Yes, that's your experience, right? He is our refuge. What else? What is he like? He heals us. Yes. He's a comforter, yes, through his Holy Spirit, the comforter, yes.
He's patient, yes. He's sufficient God, yes. I guess you have more time to find out what that means in your life. You don't have to tell.
Thank you, yes, good. How are you doing, Gemma? Wow, this is beautiful. We're going to worship God in a minute, based on what we've said here. Anything else? He saves us. Yes, he saves you. And, you know, God wants relationships. So this is about personal. Yes, the Bible tells us what God is like. But at the end of the day, we have to have personal experience of what God is like, don't we? Promise keeper. He keeps his promises. He's a guide, yes. He inspires us, yes. Yeah. He is gracious to us. Yes, full of grace. He's our He provides for us, yes, because he's a father who loves us and cares for us. He is just, yes, he is a God of justice. He is our light, light in the darkness, our light, the light that guides us. You're running out of room. Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thank you, Jeremy. You've done a really good job. And we're just going to keep these things in mind. Well, often in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, when you read some of the great prayers which are recorded for us, prayers, for example, that were prayed by Hannah or by David or by Solomon or Jeremiah, or Daniel, or Ezra, or Nehemiah. Those prayers that they prayed are recorded for us, and that's wonderful. And there are many prayers, of course, in the Psalms as well. But you get a sense from these prayers that they adore and worship God first, before they come to God with the shopping list, if I can put it like that. You get a sense that they worship God in their prayers before they do anything else. We worship him for who he is and for what he's done. And so it's similar with this prayer from Hezekiah that we read in 2 Kings 19. And his prayer gives us some clues about how to pray. It's interesting, this whole passage is repeated in Isaiah 37, more or less word for word. Isaiah 37. So what's the context? What's going on here? Assyria has become a superpower in the land. And Sennacherib, I think, Phil, you said it a lot better than I could. Sennacherib is the king of Assyria, this superpower. And this is the time of Isaiah, so around 700 to 800 years before Jesus. And this king, Sennacherib, threatens or tries to intimidate King Hezekiah. He does it three times in chapter 18 and chapter 19. And so what we've read today is the third of his attempts to intimidate or threaten Hezekiah the king. And as I said, unlike many of the kings, Hezekiah is one of the good kings. Hezekiah is a king who trusts the Lord and is devoted to God. So in the context of the pressure that King Hezekiah, the threat that he is under, he prays this prayer. And there are four features of this prayer that I'm going to pick out. First of all, he acknowledges who God is. The first thing that he does in his prayer is acknowledge who God is. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "Lord, the God of Israel, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth." So the first thing is he acknowledges who God is. He's praying. This is his prayer, acknowledging who God is. The letter from this king, Sennacherib, to Hezekiah then says, "Do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria." Isn't that a bit disrespectful? Isn't that disrespectful? This king, Sennacherib, says to Hezekiah, "Don't let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria." That's a bit arrogant and very disrespectful of God. Look how Sennacherib is ridiculing the living God. So we pray at the beginning of the prayer that Jesus taught us, "Hallowed be your name," or "May your name be honored, respected, revered." Well, King Sennacherib is doing the opposite of that. And so in Hezekiah's prayer, the second thing that he prays is he says, "Look, God, this guy is disrespecting your name." I'm paraphrasing. This guy is disrespecting your name. And Hezekiah, in his prayer, is concerned about that. So the second thing that Hezekiah prays is, Lord, why is this guy disrespecting you by saying these things? And then, after these first two things, Hezekiah then comes to the request. And so what he does is come as a letter. The threat, the intimidation has come in the form of a letter. And so literally Hezekiah goes in and he lays out the letter in front in the temple to God and says, God, of course God knows this already. He says, God, look at what this guy has said to me. Look at what this guy is doing and saying. And he prays that God would hear and see what is going on. That God would see the situation. And this request is a, please help me, God, request. That's what Hezekiah is saying. And so the third thing is that he comes to the request. And Hezekiah's cry is a cry for deliverance from the evil of this superpower. And then finally, in the prayer, he doesn't only say, help me, God, in as many words. He says, so that the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. He doesn't just say, help me out, God, I'm in a difficult situation. He says, so that the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are God. And so I wonder, when we pray, is our motive sometimes to pray and say to God, please, God, help me in this situation, whatever the situation is. Help me in this situation. And through this situation, may that person or those people understand a bit more about who you are and what you're like. Does that kind of prayer feature in our request to God? We want other people to see God at work. And our text this year says, God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And in a way, Hezekiah has got that in mind when he says, God, will you help me out of this sticky situation so that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are God, the Lord. And if we're brutally honest, many of us would go, in our prayer, we would go straight to the request to God, wouldn't we? We would say, God, help me. I need your help. But maybe Hezekiah's example, his pattern for his prayer, is a good lesson for us. That wherever we're going through a difficult situation, a risky, stressful, desperate situation, we pray, God, help me, yes, but we, first of all, we worship God. We say, you alone are God. You are the Creator, the Almighty. I worship you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for what you've done in the lives of those people. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for these things. And God, would you please help me in this difficult situation that I'm in? And so Hezekiah's prayer, the way he does it, the way he prays, is a good pattern for our prayer. Our personal prayer life is very important. And I pray that through this year, we will go deeper in our personal prayer life. But alongside our personal prayer, it's important that God's people, ourselves, we learn to pray together. And I chose that reading from Acts 1 because it illustrates perfectly that the normal life of the disciples after Jesus ascended was that they would meet together to pray. And it was in that context that they prayed about the situation of choosing a new leader to replace Judas. And God heard their prayer and he answered their prayer, and Matthias was chosen as the 12th apostle. And it's in the context of praying together, which was normal for them, and it should be normal for us, that we pray together. Why is it good to pray together? I'm out of time, I think, aren't I? Right, okay. I was going to share some reasons why it's good to pray together, but I won't. I will try and bring them in either next week or during the prayer times this week. So I'm going to finish there. I'm just going to say that I hope your prayer life this year will go deeper, that you will think about the pattern of prayer that Jesus taught us in the prayer that he taught us, to think about the themes and use them to guide your prayers, that you'll think about Hezekiah's prayer, the way he prayed, what he was thinking when he prayed, as ways of praying. I pray that we will meet with God more deeply this year. All of us. I do pray that. I pray that for myself, and I pray it for all of us, as well as for his guiding and his leading. I wonder if we could just, Michelle, if you could just play a bit of background. And I'm going to suggest now, just for a moment or two, that we pray together. That we can we stand if we're able? You can pray in any language that you're comfortable praying. And I invite you to take one of these things that Gemma has written down so clearly and just worship God, thank God for one or more of these things. We just worship the Lord all together. Let's just lift our voices. Just choose one of these things. Thank you, God, that you are compassionate. Thank you, God, that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Let's together worship the Lord and lift up your voice. Thank him for one of these things about who he is like, who he is and what he is like. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.